Hi, chat room.
There are people.
We heard you.
Yay. Patreon hangout. We're just going to hang out. I even got a coffee.
Ah, see, I have beers. It's not an early morning one, so.
Beer. Why didn't I think of that? Maybe I'll have my coffee. Like, I'll get an up for the start of Magicka 2, and then just drill it down with a couple beers. Mm. That's healthy, right?
Oh, totally. Yeah. Totally. So, hi, chat room. This is all about you. We don't have any notes. We don't have shit to talk about. It's all you.
We're just going to hang out while we wait for them to talk to us because they're shy. You know, they're good people, but they're shy. We could say that this is going to be our normal time. Not right now. Not 20 minutes late because Ryan had to work late.
Yeah.
And yeah,
20 minutes late because Ryan.
Yeah, Ryan, my fault. I will take
all Ryan up in this bitch.
It's
in a weird mood.
No, that's fine. I'm being distracted. We start the show and it's like work up here in the top right corner. What's up? It's like what? What's this now? Gamers in. Let's go. No, at 7 p.m. Eastern, third week of the month.
Pending. Oh, did we decide third week of the month? Was I in on this conversation at all?
Probably. I think so. I think the third week's a good solid one, because you know how... Wait, is the third week of the month the TAC one?
No.
Okay, then I think we're good with the third week.
The TAC one, I think, is always the last week. But even then, the TAC one is Tuesdays.
I know, but I don't want to, like... You don't want to have, like, 1 week where it's just, like, solid podcasting except for Wednesdays.
Why not? What else do I do with my life?
That's not very
and
nice.
And even then, we should mention we're actually going to change the Gamers Inn. It's going to go Wednesday nights instead of Friday nights. So
Wednesdays at 7 as well.
Super stoked about that, yeah.
So we're going to do Gamers Inn on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern. Still on amove.tv. We're not going anywhere. We just switched it because of, you know, you go through a hard week at work and, you know, Friday's sort of like the...
Fridays at 9:30 was really rough for me.
Yeah.
I was ready to quit at that point, so...
Oh.
No, not quite the show. I mean, like, I was done at that point in the day.
I know. I'm the same way. Like, it's funny because Fridays when we first switched, I remember, I think maybe Garrett had emailed us or you had told me what Garrett said. And it was like, I'll never do a podcast on a Friday. Like, Fridays are me time. And yeah. I think after 2 or 3 years, we've realized that, like, yeah, Fridays should be me time. And for me, it's like... Friday's the end of the week, you know, you're podcasting all week and doing shows and you just either want to relax or play video games, and Gamers Inn is late enough where it's like when you're done, it's like, well, I could play a game for an hour or go to bed, you know.
See, for me, I feel like Gamers Inn was really the reason I was up super, super late on Friday nights, because I was always so tired by 9:30 that I could have literally just like thrown on a TV show for an episode or two and gone to sleep. But because I power through for the show, I get my second wind and then I'm up until 4, 5, 6 in the morning. Right. So I feel like this is going to be better for my overall health and well-being.
We'll give it a shot.
I still plan to stream on Fridays, but I think I'm going to start my stream schedule a little bit earlier. So I'm looking to start to stream at like 7 or 8 o'clock my time. Mm-hmm. So I'll stream something, you know, kind of, you know, random, maybe some Hearthstone, but probably not. I think I'm going to keep my Hearthstone stream to Mondays. So we'll have like Hearthstone stream and Angry Chicken on Mondays, Angry Chicken Hangout on Tuesdays when they happen. When I don't have Angry Chicken, I think I'm going to stream on Tuesdays as well because we're not doing Raid anymore.
How did that get canned?
I just kind of decided I was done because it was like we lost a whole bunch of people. Like we lost you, we lost James who was tanking, we lost Sauntering Lindsay who was healing for us. Mm-hmm. We lost... Sparrow, who was healing, like basically, like we lost tanks and healers, and I couldn't replace them as fast as they were dropping.
Yeah, so it's just where we're at with the game. For me, it was like,
well, we still hadn't finished the first like the 6.0 raid content, and I'm like, if we're still, even though like I'm at like I think 660 is my eye level, like I'm fully conquest PvP geared. And I was just like, you know what? If we're still, even with high gear levels, bashing our heads up against some of these bosses, then mm-hmm. I'm just like, it's not going to happen. So we're falling behind in raid. I think it'd probably be better if we just kind of grabbed whoever was there and did LFR instead, and then we still get to see the content, but, you know, less pressure. So we might still do that, but not in any kind of organized fashion. So yes. I'll probably just, you know, when I feel like raiding, I'll just hit up the people in our raid group, because we did have a really good raid group. So
we did. And you, yeah. you, I remember when you, there's a song about that, I think. I don't know. You would, when raid was kind of like, we're not going to raid, we're going to do PvP, we're going to do dungeons. There was always that group mentality of like, well, we don't have enough for this, but let's go do this. And yeah. I think that if we wanted to just have a WoW night where everybody says like, we're not going to raid, we're not going to do this, we're just going to grab, okay, who do we have? Mm-hmm. Let's do some WoW stuff. And we've even talked about that, like doing the heroic quest and stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm fine with that, but. And then on Wednesdays our normal will be our new normal time, starting on, I think I told Todd, not next week but the week after.
Yes.
At 7 p.m. Eastern. And then for those who are looking for Mo podcast goodness. Mo problems. there's Zombies Ate My Podcast that goes live at 9:30 p.m. Eastern, so about an hour after Gamers In. So there'll be Gamers In on Alpha Geek Channel 3, I think it is, and then you can switch right over. You can go get a snack. I suggest cheese sticks, because that'll just fend right into Zombies Ate My Podcast at 9:30, which we've started doing live just a couple weeks ago.
That's exciting.
On Channel 1, yeah. We've been having a lot of fun. We recorded on the weekend this week, and I'm just about to hit the publish button after this. And so because we did a live show already, we did a game stream, which was one of our Patreon milestones. So we did Left 4 Dead 2. I'm hoping to get the guys sort of out of their comfort zone. It's like, come on, guys. Like, Left 4 Dead 2 is like a really old game. Let's play something new. And they're like, well, you know, it's so fun, though. I don't know. Then Thursdays will always be game night. No change there. Yep. But our Patreon hangout will be Thursday, every third Thursday of the month. And our Patreon's pretty solid now. So thanks to the patrons, we have this lovely hangout time.
And yeah, so that'll be the hour before game night.
Yeah.
Every third week, which is, yeah, it's good. It's solid. I like it.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so then that frees up our Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And that also means for you guys, when we do have things like vacation, long weekends, all that kind of stuff, we don't have to move around our time, because Wednesday isn't going to be impacted by any of that. So
exactly.
So I'm excited. I think it's good. When we started doing the podcast, actually, we started it on Wednesday nights, and it worked pretty well. Yeah, I'm trying to remember. We changed it, I think, because of my volleyball schedule and then the A-Move thing. And because even when I was back in Ontario, my volleyball nights were Wednesdays. So, mm-hmm. It was my volleyball schedule that threw us off. And then Garrett's recording schedule, because there used to be...
StarCast?
Biggest fan, I think, biggest on fan. Wednesday nights. Yeah, so the slot has opened up and we are sniping it. So.
Yeah, and well, I think it'll work out well, and it'll probably produce, you know, you'll get your same old awesome Gamers In. It'll just be at a fresher time, because you got to remember Jocelyn's an hour ahead, right? So if Ryan's complaining he's tired at 8:30, you can imagine, like, Jocelyn's all hyped up after our show, and it's like, oh, it's 11:30, like a normal good person would go to sleep at this point. And it's like, no, let's play Hearthstone.
Well, I have the same issues with Angry Chicken, because Angry Chicken doesn't start till 11 o'clock my time, which is pretty late on a Monday. So, that's what's coming down the pipe. So, guys, throw some questions in the chat room. What do you want us to talk about? This is totally, completely, and utterly driven by you.
This is patron time. And for those who don't know, patreon.com/thegamersin. I was talking to Jocelyn today about, like, posting details. Oh, we should post it to the Patreon. And for those who don't know, every Wednesday we post our plans. Well, I post our plans for our game night. And that consists mainly of, we're playing tomorrow, tell us what you want to play. Tonight's going to be a little different, because we've got an extra copy of Magicka 2 that we're going to be giving away. I believe last time I checked the comments, it was just Jimmy that was interested. So be sure you turn on your email notifications.
Yeah, Jim, you should check your Steam, because I sent you a copy.
Yeah, and start installing it, because we're going to play it right after the hangout. But yeah, definitely change your email notifications so you get Gamers In News, because usually when we post something, it is directly related to your benefit. Modest Deity in the chat room is asking, are you excited for EVO? I am assuming that's the fighting tournament thing? EVO? I don't know. Is that a... Do you know much about EVO?
No, I'm totally Googling it right now.
Oh, okay, perfect. It's like, oh, Justin's tweeting. You guys have lost her already. No. I'm just joking. I think EVO is a fighting tournament, or it's a car sharing program in Vancouver.
Okay, it's definitely a fighting game tournament.
Yeah.
So I guess the answer to that question is no.
I'm not a big...
Only because we didn't know what it was.
Yeah, like, I'm not a big fighting tournament guy, although I look
There's
at this
Super Smash
list.
Brothers.
I was just about to say. I see Super Smash Brothers, and to be honest, guys, I'm not a big esport person. And that's probably due to the fact that I haven't given it a fair shake. You know, it's totally on
I'm
me.
I'm such a huge esports person. I love esports. I get so excited. You get all caught up in the hype. It's just like when you see these like little Korean guys getting treated like freaking rock stars on this like StarCraft stage that's like as big as a football stadium. Like, you can't help but get hyped.
Yeah, I agree. It from what I've watched some stuff from like, because I got the virtual ticket for BlizzCon. Mm-hmm. And EVO is free to watch, so it's got that going for it. I think it's free. July 17th and the 19th. Yeah, I should be more into esports. And you mentioned, like, they have Super Smash Brothers for Wii U, Super Smash Brothers Melee, Mortal Kombat X. Those are all three games that I would love to see people play better than me. Because mm-hmm. I'm terrible at all three. And that would be nice.
I guess Smash Brothers is a little bit different. Mm-hmm. But I find I never got into fighting games. Like, I used to love Mortal Kombat when I was younger. But even then, that we only just rented. So we only had it, like, for a weekend here and there sort of thing, back when you could actually, like, go to a brick-and-mortar store and rent a video game. But yeah, I don't know. I never really got into fighting games as a genre.
Yeah, it was sort of a secondary genre for me and my brothers. We played a lot of Mortal Kombat 3 on the SNES.
On the SNES.
Yeah, the SNES, that's what we call it. That's what the kids call it. I'm cool now, Jocelyn. Did you not hear?
I didn't hear. That's news to me.
The tweet has been scheduled.
Modest Deity says, competitive games keep you from enjoying other games, though, because of the time commitment. So true. As soon as you start to get competitive in a game, it's really, really difficult to keep up with anything else. I'm finding that right now with WoW and Hearthstone. Like I mentioned, I got myself fully PvP geared in WoW, and I'm really trying to, first of all, get better at PvP on my Hunter in general, but also get my achievements in Ashran, which, again, isn't really a competitive thing per se, but definitely takes some skills, because if you can't get kills on the race that you're going for, then obviously you're not going to get any credit for your quests. So, but yeah, it's a huge time sink. And then with the grind to legend, like in Hearthstone, again, huge, huge time sink. And I'm not even that competitive in Hearthstone. I'm pretty good, but I'm not going to play in any tournaments or get to legend every season. Like, and it's strictly time commitment. And while I'm doing those two things, like, I don't do or play anything else other than Hearthstone and WoW, which, I mean, I guess and anything we play on game night, because that's specifically for Gamers In, like specific time for Gamers In. So it's really, really, really difficult to be, you know, into a game on that level. But at the same time, like, I like watching esports in the background a lot of the time. I watch Hearthstone tournaments and stuff while I'm doing other things. Same with Smite. I tried to watch WoW PvP and I just can't.
It's not. Yeah, I mean, everybody's got their game that they like to watch. And for me, I'm not a big esports person. I'm a quick look guy. You know, like, I love the content that Giant Bomb puts up. It's the type of content that I put up. And it's the type of content we put up through our streams, right? Those they are by no means competitive. Can you remember how many times Jocelyn killed our friendly CPU with her robot? Or he wasn't a CPU. He had feelings. That was a real person who was probably like, I'm never playing this game. No. We had a fun time. And I'm not a big competitive guy. And I don't watch a lot of competitive sort of live streams, although the ones that I have I really enjoy, but I'm more about learning about a game. I'm not big into competitive games, right? Mm-hmm. But I can appreciate them for sure.
Jim just reminded me that there was that today is Thursday, which means there's a Smite match. I keep forgetting to put my picks in time for the Thursday matches. I keep missing right. all the points.
See, and like, I don't know whether it's definitely not a lack of interest because I love Smite. I think it's just more, I barely have enough time to latch on to playing games, plural, because I like to jump around a lot. So my minimal amount of time to play games is chopped up into pieces. So I feel like I don't even have enough time to devote to understanding the whole other level of esports associated with, like, I love StarCraft, but I feel like it would take me a weekend to sort out the leagues and who to cheer for and what I should be watching and where it all mm-hmm. goes, right?
Yeah. Even being an esport fan, it takes a lot of time.
It's true. But I do like Smite, and I love the announcers. That's the best part
about esports. Oh my god, yes. If you get good commentators, it completely changes the experience.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad people like esports, though. I think it's a thing that I would much rather go to a bar and watch esports than a hockey game.
Blasphemy.
I can't win with you tonight.
No.
I don't really like esports. Blasphemy. I'd rather see esports than hockey in a bar. It's like blasphemy. It's like, all right, well, one or zero aren't working. Let's try 0.5 right now. Yeah.
You just have to say that you'd like to watch both esports and hockey. And
I like everything.
There you go.
I was thinking of floating a topic by you for this week, and I feel like I've been this optimistic gamer this week with all the announcements and stuff. Whereas on the internet, I see, like, and tell me if this sounds interesting, and we'll stop talking about it and we'll save it for tomorrow. But you saw the Fallout 4 announcement, right?
I saw that it was announced, but I didn't see any fallout from the Fallout.
Oh, well, mainly it's
now
like,
we got to save it for tomorrow because, like, I'm going to use that again.
Well, yeah, write that down. I was just going to say as an intro to tomorrow, and I'll write it in the notes so we remember to talk about it. But with the Fallout 4 announcement, the XCOM 2, and a couple other things this week, I see a lot of excited posts, like a lot of optimistic people looking forward to a game, and then you see the tweets from people who are like, Fallout 4, meh, blah, blah, blah. I don't care. Who cares?
I'm not excited. Fallout 4?
Hmm?
Didn't everyone want Fallout 4? Oh, no, that's Half-Life 3 that I'm thinking of.
It's not about whether everybody wants it or not.
No, I know, but I'd like the like meme of a game that everybody wants announced is it's Half-Life, not Fallout.
It should be Fallout 4. I mean, because people have been asking about it for a very long time, but to me, I don't understand the passive-aggressive tweets of people saying, like, oh, Fallout 4, I'm not as excited as everybody else on the internet. And it's like, then why are you tweeting that? Like, just move along your day and be happy that other people are happy.
Yeah. Because that doesn't happen on the internet, Ryan.
But that's the problem, is that it shouldn't be happening on the internet, Jocelyn. We should
be
better
people. It was the same sort of thing with the Hearthstone announcement today.
Exactly. See, we both have one, and I did see that. And to me, when I first saw it, I was like, I could easily tweet, like, I'm not really big into Hearthstone, and $10 for that seems blah, blah, blah. And it's like, but why would I post that? Because I know there are people out there that want that, you know, that are happy to see that.
Mm-hmm.
Why ruin their day by making an offhand comment about something I have no interest in? You know? I don't know. Anyways, we'll save it.
I was going to say, I made a little bit of kind of a negative comment.
But, I saw that, but it was... But I'm not talking about
I'm way opinion. Invested in Hearthstone. I feel like I can have an opinion.
But
even if it's not fully supported. I think it's actually better because I feel like I spend a lot of my time being like, rah, rah, yay, Hearthstone. So the fact that I have negative opinions about things that they're choosing to do, I feel like that, I don't know, somehow buys me some kind of cred.
But I'm not talking about...
I'm not in anybody's pocket.
Yeah, and I'm not talking about you stating an opinion. I'm talking about these people, and I'm not going to name names, and some of them are friends of the show, so I won't name names.
Ooh.
But now
I'm interested.
But it's not about... you're stating an opinion, which is fine, and I could have easily stated that same opinion because I agree with you. But some people are just... It's not an opinion. It's just a fact that they're not interested.
Mm-hmm.
Giving no reason but that they're not interested. And it's like, at that point, it's like, I mean, freedom of speech and all that. But when I see stuff like that, it makes me consider, like, do I unfollow? Someone had actually subtweeted, like retweeted what I said, and then subtweeted saying like, it's like high school all up in here. They subtweeted about, you know,
retweets and subtweets, the drama.
And this is all in good fun. Like, if the people think I'm calling them out, like, don't worry about it. Anyways, like, the subtweet.
I want to go, like, look at Twitter and see what Josh said.
Josh had said, had replied to Val about, and Val had said something like, I don't care about Fallout 4. Why? Like, everyone's excited, but I'm not. Does that make me a bad person? It's like, no, it doesn't. It doesn't make you a bad person. It makes you a normal person. It's normal to have differing opinions sometimes. But someone had subtweeted like, hey, you know, you can set up mute tags. And I'm like, yeah, I could certainly mute. I don't care about Fallout 4, but like, I shouldn't have to. That's really... All right. I'm going to write this down. We can
pick this up. We can pick it up. James tomorrow. Tweeted us a question. He says, what do you predict will be the most discussed game at N15? Which, for those of you who don't know, is Nerdtacular. It is a conference that we go to. It's annual in Utah. And I guess just a whole bunch of nerds, podcasting nerds, people fan of the Frog Pants Network. Mm-hmm.
We're all going. You need to get your passport fixed.
I need to get a passport, yes.
We're still sorting out. We have our flight. And by we, I mean Ashley and I.
I was going to say, I have my flights, my hotels, my tickets. Everything's booked. They won't let me into the country.
We're both.
So that might be a problem. Maybe.
We're even on the same plane.
I'm hoping if I just smile pretty, I'll be like, I promise, I'm just going to a con and coming right back. I'm not a terrorist.
I'm not. Jeez, you can't say that on the internet, can you?
I think you can't say it in customs.
Definitely.
I'm pretty sure it's okay to say it on the internet.
Okay. I just get weary sometimes.
Customs people, you don't joke with them. Joke with them. I had to tell Ashley that
we were in the line. Like, just do what he says. What are you doing?
On my way to BlizzCon, it was like super early in the morning. There was like nobody else there. My flight left at like 6 o'clock in the morning. So I was there at like 4:30. There was just like three or four custom guys and literally me going through customs. And so I happened to get the one guy who was a Warcraft player. So he was just like, you know, normal customs questions like, oh, what brings you to the States? Why are you going? Like, where are you going? Where are you staying? So I said, oh, yeah, I'm going down to Anaheim. I'm going to BlizzCon. And he's like, oh, that's really cool. I play Warcraft. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's great. You know, I'm really into Warcraft and Hearthstone and I'm super psyched. And we got in this whole big conversation about Warcraft. And then he's like, so how long are you staying for? I'm like, oh, I think I'm just going to go down and never come back. And he just looked at me and he's like, you can't say that to me. I'm just like, oh, I totally thought we were bros. Well, then I'll be gone for 6 days. And here's my flight information. This is me coming home. Like, whoops.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
Do over.
Yeah, let's start that over again.
Yeah. I'd like to mulligan that whole conversation.
my favorite, and when I travel, especially on the leg back, I think it was, it was Nerdtacular coming back 2 years ago, and I had a bottle of water filled up in Salt Lake, or no, it was in Detroit. It was on the layover, and I'm in line, and I didn't realize, like, liquids, you can't bring liquids. Yeah. So I get all the way to the front of the line, they're like, oh, your bottle of water is filled, and I'm like, ah, I filled it up in the airport. Does that not count as okay? And he's like, no, you have to fill it up on the other side of the security line. I'm like, man, I guess, where was I going? I guess Toronto doesn't want Detroit water. I don't blame them. And I said that out loud. And I'm like, crap. It's one of those moments where you're just like wincing, waiting to be tackled. And he's just like, and he understood my frustration. He's like, well, you know what? Come here. I'll escort you around. You can pour it out and we'll get you back in line. And I'm like, oh, okay, fine. So it was my bad, but you know.
Why didn't you just throw out the water bottle?
Oh, it was like a plastic bottle, like one that you keep refilling.
Oh,
because I'm a good in person environmentally.
I see.
I don't want to ruin the environment, Jocelyn. It's Detroit, though. That's already ruined, right? I don't know. I've been watching
so
a lot.
Terrible. I can't imagine why you had trouble going through security in Detroit.
Just in Detroit. I've been watching a lot of Mad Men, and Detroit sounds really nice in the 50s. So
that's true.
I'm not sure what happened.
They all had cars and guns and shot people in faces.
Are you all caught up on Mad Men, too? I'm like, snap, I'm half a season left, and it's not on Netflix, so.
I was going to say, yeah, I'm caught up on everything that's on Netflix.
I just binged straight through it. And come on, chat room, this is about you, not about Mad Men.
I know. Like we're just filling time here. What's going on with you guys? What do you want us to answer? Oh, we never actually answered the
Nerdtacular thing. Well, it's after E3, so do you think it'll be a big E3 moment?
Because
I think, like...
Probably. We've got, a month and a half from E3 to Nerdtacular.
Yeah.
So there won't be anything else because it's July and nothing ever gets announced or talked about or launched in July.
It might have changed last year, but when I went 2 years ago, the game... There's not a lot of nerdy conversations, believe it or not. Like, I brought my wife along, and okay, there are nerdy conversations, but not like what you're thinking. It's not like a gamer's inn happening on every corner street, right?
Should be.
It should, yeah. But I brought Ashley. She's not a gamer, and she was worried that every time we would gather with other people, it would just turn into a geek fest. But it was more personal than that, right? It was a personal conversation about who they are and who we are, and occasionally geeky stuff would come up. But it's not like, oh, thank God we're here. We can finally talk about Legacy of the Void or Witcher 3 or how many quests I have left to do in Skyrim, even though that game came out 5 years ago, you know? But when we talked about games at Nerdtacular, it was more about the popular games that were going on in the game room. You know, that was the
game. Yeah, that's true, actually. Yeah, there was a lot of talk about cards, a lot of talk about... what's the other one? Oh, crap. Cards Against Humanity is Munchkin.
Yep, Munchkin.
Yeah.
Cards Against Humanity works really well as like a pick up and play game. It's so quick. But yeah, I never played Munchkin at Nerdtacular. We played at my place here, but yeah.
I love Munchkin. But yeah, in terms of games, I don't even know if it'll be a Blizzard title. I mean, I guess it depends what Hearthstone announces, because I think there's supposed to be some sort of announcement in June.
Heroes Kids. No.
So it'll probably, I would imagine, be the next expansion.
Wait, for Hearthstone?
Yep.
Oh, I guess July was right around the time they released...
Nax was in July last year, but 6 months ago was Goblins versus Gnomes. That was December.
Yeah. Well, it could be Hearthstone. It could be... I think, really, of all the splashes that could be made at E3 that would last a month and a half and have people talking about it, it's probably going to be something big from either the big three or a big showing for VR, right? I think if some of the VR stuff really comes forward and in a way that appeals more than just the hardcore, maybe that's something that would be a conversation. But I don't see Nintendo dropping any huge bombs unless like Zelda actually is at the show or they announce like a sequel to one of the Mario games or something.
Even if Zelda is at the show, I mean, we've already seen a bunch of Zelda stuff. It's not like it's going to be crazy. I mean, we might get a release date, but I don't really see anything being groundbreaking with Zelda.
Yeah, and...
So I don't know if that would be, like, the game to talk about. I don't know. That's tricky.
Yeah, I don't know. I think...
Like, it won't be Assassin's Creed, because there's just a bazillion of them, and that's not news anymore.
It won't be Assassin's Creed.
Yeah. I don't know. I think maybe... I know Josh in the chat room said Legacy of the Void. I don't know, because, again, I don't think we're going to get much more out of Blizzard in terms of Legacy of the Void other than potentially a release date. So, which is exciting, but, I mean, it's not much to talk about outside of, so, did you hear when Legacy of the Void is coming? Yeah, it's coming in blah.
I think...
End of discussion.
I really think that... you know, with Splatoon out, we'll see maybe Nintendo getting, you know, continuing that crafty nature of coming up with experiences that people are actually interested in picking up a Wii U. I hope that's the case. And if Nintendo does capture that, that could be something that could keep people talking. I don't see Sony or Microsoft pulling a curtain off of anything crazy, because Uncharted 4 has been delayed into 2016, so that's just going to be another gameplay demo. Mm-hmm. Microsoft has Halo 5 in the fall, but I think they're showing a new Gears, but that's just like, that's more of the same, right?
Yeah.
If Half-Life 3 got announced, Yes, that would be the game everybody's talking about. And every year around this time, people start to get sniffed and start sniffing out, like, finding logos hidden deep within the bowels of Steam database. But yeah, I don't know. I had mentioned the VR stuff, Ping Pong Pete. Like, if it's groundbreaking and doesn't cost $1,000 and actually gives an experience that's worth having,
yeah,
I think that'll be big.
No Blood Man's Anubis Sky has a game question. Do Perfect. You prefer exploring for collectibles, or do you like completing goals for unlockables?
Why don't you go first?
I think for me, probably completing goals. Mm-hmm. And I say that because I'm such an achievement whore. I freaking love achievements. Like, I spend so much time going through, even like Warcraft. Like, I mean, I spend so much of my time going back into old content, back to vanilla, whatever, and getting all of the achievements. And I'm just thinking, in terms of Warlords, there are a ton of chests that are kind of scattered throughout Draenor, and I think I've found two. Like, I don't bother, especially when I'm questing and leveling and trying to do something specific, I'm not going to go exploring. And I really haven't taken advantage of any of that kind of stuff to get those collectibles. Same thing with even exploring to try to find rare monsters that drop things. Again, not so much. But I have, you know, like, fully leveled a character. I've done all the stuff in my garrison. Which are much more goal-oriented and quest-oriented, and I think that that's how I would prefer to get my unlockable stuff, because I get it quicker. I mean, I can go and explore and find all those collectibles, but I'm not going to. So for me, it's completing goals, getting achievements, and having unlockables tied to that. Like, perfect example, mounts or titles.
Right.
Those will get me to do achievements like nobody's business.
Doing things, right? Doing things, it's like a to-do list sometimes, right? That's where it becomes a problem. Like, if it's implemented in a good way and not a to-do list, like, okay, now I need, like, that's how I always felt it was a WoW. Like, all right, I got my grocery list. Let's go kill 1,000 gnomes, kill 1,000 night elves, and so on and so forth.
500.
Five. Sorry. Whoa. I'm putting you off the deep end, and it's really not that bad. But then again, like, they both have caveats. Like, if you're looking at exploring, if you're looking at collectibles in a linear game, it's like, okay, which one of these forked pathways is going to trigger cutscene, and which one's going to end in a collectible? Mm. The Uncharted series was pretty bad for this, and same with God of War. If you noticed you were heading in a direction that had a lot of bad guys, it's like, oh, this is the direction I need to take to continue. I'm going to backtrack and go that other way and pick up the trophy or whatever was down there.
Okay.
And it didn't really feel rewarding because you're just trial and erroring it, right? But with The Witcher 3, you have to, it's sort of a combination of the two, where you're going to these notice boards and saying, okay, here's my to-do list. I can pick and choose what I want. And when you pull them all off the board, and some of the stories like, me wife has gone missing in the forest and my lucky charms. It's like, damn it. I got to find both of those. Maybe they're the same thing. I don't know. Maybe his wife is his lucky charms. And you got to, that adds a sort of question mark on your map, and you can choose to go to that location, and you don't know what you're going to have to do. You know that the wife is missing. You might get there and find you have to, like, use your detective mode to say, oh, there's blood on the ground, and let's follow it. Oh, she was eaten by a werewolf. That's unfortunate. or you might go there and there's a bunch of bandits and the wife wasn't missing at all. It was just a trap, you know? So that I think that The Witcher 3 has a great combination of that, but I like the to-do list too sometimes. Sometimes it's nice to just get things done and check it off your list and be like, you still feel like you accomplished something, right? Which is the main thing, feeling positive after doing a lot of work.
Very true.
There's a tag question in there.
There was a tag question. So this one comes from Jim. He says, regarding the tag discussion about women in esports, I think the latter part of the conversation where you guys talked about it being rough to get in is the exact reason for the lack of female players. They face an environment that is at best uncomfortable and at worst downright hostile. That's true. And we had a bit of a conversation afterwards off air. And I think really it comes down to being, and we touched on this in the Hangout a little bit earlier too, mm-hmm. Being competitive in esports takes a whole hell of a lot of time, effort, and especially energy. And I feel like it just takes that much more energy to be a female in competitive esports, strictly because you not only have to be fantastic at the game to compete with the men at a high competitive level, but then you also have to have the energy to deal with all of the hostility and trolls, whatever form that takes. So whether you deal with them one-on-one and try to address everything, or if you try to ignore it, or, you know, however it is you deal with it, that's added energy on top of everything else. And I mean, we did touch on the fact that, you know, there's a lot of, you know, just trolling that goes on in general, but the hostility towards women and just dismissing them, it's a lot to take. So you have all of the energy you have to put into learning and playing the actual game on top of all the energy. It's just exhausting. It's just exhausting. So it's really, really difficult to actually make it all the way to the top in competitive anything. Mm-hmm. We were obviously talking specifically Hearthstone, but just really anything.
Yeah, so it's not even competitive.
It's just exhausting. Yeah.
It's playing video games. And
yeah.
I don't stream a lot. But when I do, and when I jump in to when Jocelyn's playing, like, I see the chat that pops up, like, and it's kind of like, that's shitty behavior of people, none of which are in the chat room right now. Like, it's usually when we do the show, it's usually really good. Mm-hmm. People kind of police themselves, and actually tonight has been fantastic. No problems whatsoever. Except for Blood Anubis, who misspelled Mankirk. He spelled it Macrick.
What? That's it. Ban.
Blood Anubis. The poor woman died. You could just get her name right. This our gamers in chat room is awesome. Amove is awesome. Frog Pants is awesome.
Yeah,
That's the experience I have. But
and we are definitely spoiled by the communities that we are a part of. And Blood Anubis just meals balls. And the chat room goes downhill.
Slash on. I know you can't uninstall the internet, Blood Anubis.
But yeah, so I mean, I think that plays a really big part in it, is just the amount of effort that you have to put in, the amount of energy you have to expend. It's just flat out exhausting. So,
you know, that's not what gaming is about. Gaming is about having fun. And if you're not having fun, it should be because you're playing a shitty game that you can change and be like, I don't want to play this game. Not because of people on the internet misbehaving.
Harassment. And I mean, and the other thing that we kind of, we also touched on that I think didn't necessarily get lost in the episode, but it was definitely near the end. And I want to, I guess, kind of emphasize it a little bit more. Karma brought up the really, really excellent point of how it's also difficult sometimes for just any up and coming, you know, new talent. And women actually have it a little bit easier in that regard, because I mean, like, if I were to be like a total no-name person and go and win a Hearthstone tournament, the amount of press that I'm going to get from winning one Hearthstone tournament as a woman is 1,000 times more than if a no-name guy had gone and won that Hearthstone tournament. You know, like, I mean, Magic Amy is a perfect example. She won one tournament. It wasn't even that big. And she wins, you know, one tournament. She's got offers to play on professional teams. You know, like, people are falling all over her. Mm-hmm. And you have other people winning similar sized tournaments, other like men winning similar sized tournaments that, you know, still can't break into the competitive scene and get the support of a team and everything else because, you know, they're just another dude. So there is a flip side of it as well, you know, that it's easier as a woman to get press, but there's way more press or bad press and harassment and all the rest of it that goes along with it. So there are some pros. And I mean, again, same thing with streamers, you know, like there are certain pros to being a woman streamer in that it's easier to get viewers because you stand out, but the quality of those viewers isn't necessarily always there. So there, yeah, it's pros and cons, but I just wanted to make sure that, you know, we, we did mention that, and I did want to talk about it again, that, you know, it has an impact beyond just the impact on the female player. There's an impact across the scene, and it's unfortunate. I just want everybody to be treated as a gamer. Like, why can't we just all be gamers? I don't get it. So,
yeah. As people who play video games, it really shouldn't matter what country you're from, what sex you are, what game you're playing, for that matter. Yeah. Like, it doesn't even – like, there are so many – that's the problem with the internet. It gives everybody a voice, and everybody's voice isn't as awesome as others. And when you're playing a specific game, and we have this sometimes happen on the show when we've tagged our show as a specific game we're going to talk about, and randoms will jump in, which is awesome. But oftentimes they'll be like, "This is a Shadow of Mordor."
Yeah,
this is two people talking,
which is really, really funny, because we've had it both ways. We tagged it as a gaming talk show for a while, and then we got actually like worse comments from people because there are so few people streaming with the gaming talk shows tag, mm-hmm. that we just got these horrible, terrible, trolly people when we used that tag. So now we went back to tagging it with games, but every once in a while we come in and say, "Oh, reported, this isn't gameplay." It's like, well, no, it's not, but come on.
Yeah. We didn't mention this at the top of the show, and I didn't set it up this way, but if someone wanted to call in, they certainly could. They know we're on Skype. But I didn't set it up like that. I didn't set it up the way
we should. What are you talking about? Sorry, I'm reading the chat.
No, I jumped back to this Patreon hangout we're doing. And I remember, like, when we started this, it was supposed to be call-ins, and I'm like, I didn't set it up tonight to do call-ins, but... next time.
I said chat questions for tonight because I knew we were running late and everything else. And this is just easier. So, Ryan, I've got your back, and you just totally, like, you just hadn't mentioned it. It would have been fine.
No one was asking.
Totally pulled a Ryan.
One was asking for it. I'm tired. This coffee's not coming close yet. Lots of chat here. What do you got? Questions? I saw another question.
Yeah, I thought I did too.
What are the gaming... Niblet Man. Awesome. Niblet Man's the man. What are the gaming moments that have really hit you emotionally? For me, it's most of Spec Ops The Line is a big one.
I'm trying to remember. I remember that there was something that made me cry within the last year, but I can't remember off the top of my head what it was. Oh, wait.
I have one too that is tickling my brain, saying that it made me tear up a little bit, and...
Okay, it definitely wasn't any of the adventure games.
Yeah, I mean, along that lines,
wasn't, like, Warcraft.
No, well, no,
might have been Hearthstone. Some of those defeats are pretty emotionally scarring.
I'm trying to think of story games. Like, there's been some stuff in Dragon Age, like the end of Dragon Age Inquisition. Doesn't make you cry, but it certainly makes you feel emotions. Have some feels. I think the end of episode 3 of Life is Strange. I don't overthink games. I'm in it for the entertainment value. And I think that's what makes me maybe either a good or bad person who talks about games, because I don't really overthink things. So when Life is Strange is going down, some people may overanalyze and be like, okay, this is happening right now. It's a lull. I can think about all the things that could happen. It could be A, B, C, D, E, F. I'm just like, I wonder what's going to happen next, rather than overthinking things.
So, oh, yeah, no, I totally overthink absolutely everything in my life. So
yeah, and I think that's why sometimes when I say, I've really enjoyed this episode of X from Telltale, Jocelyn will come on and say, yeah, no, it was predictable. You know, like the story is kind of, it's like, well, yeah, if you overanalyze things. But
Nadine in the chat room, my mom didn't sign the permission slip for this feels trip.
Oh, snap.
Oh, the puns.
It feels like there should be another game that I've played.
I know. I'm trying to think. I'm like, it's not Skyrim. I'm trying to think of maybe it's StarCraft, maybe?
Maybe a little bit.
Maybe.
The Last of Us was really good. There was some stuff in there.
Play that, though.
I know.
But I feel like there's been a game that's actually made me cry, and I can't place it, and it's bothering me.
I feel it was so recent, and I want to, go back...
through our show notes and be like, was it this one?
Just wait. No, I'm just joking. I don't know. I'm trying to think of what...
The Warcraft story in Draenor is really good, but it's not tear-jerking.
Yeah, it wasn't Splatoon.
Are you sure?
No.
Spreading your ink everywhere is just emotionally draining for you? I can see that.
It could have been... Was it Killing Floor 2? Was that it? No, that's not it at all. Mario Party 10.
Smite?
It wasn't Bloodborne. Ori and the Blind Forest, yeah, that's definitely the beginning. Is very heartfelt and emotional. I can certainly agree with that. Yeah, man, this is tough. I feel like
I am definitely, I get way invested in movies, TV shows, and games, and I will cry at the drop of a hat. I know that there's something that's made me cry in gaming in the last year, here, but I can't put my finger on it.
Game of the Year episode here, I made it all the way back. Was it Gamergate? I think that made us both cry, to be honest.
That just made us both sad. I don't think there were actual tears shed.
Yeah. Anyways, I don't know. Like, I'm sure there will be some stuff. There'll be some games that come up this year.
I'm going to pay attention. Going to have the feels. I promise I'm not a robot. I will have some feels.
I got accused of being a robot today. That was fun. That's a story for not another day. Yeah, Ori and the Blind Forest is good. Spec Ops, it was not like crying, but it made you feel horrible. I remember that. Niblet Man, I played that game. It's one of those games that's touted as a, you got to play it for the story. And it's a totally generic third-person shooter, but the story and the stuff they put you through in that game, it was story first.
I wonder if it was actually Mass Effect, the last one that actually had me, like, seriously crying.
Mass Effect's a good one.
I'm just trying to think of what it might have been. Probably when, God, my playthrough of Mass Effect 3, it could have been anything. I had so many of those terrible, everyone dies moments. Morden, when he died in the tower explosion thingy, that was pretty sad.
Yeah, Morden, that's
mostly because I had to shoot him. Whoa. Well, I guess I didn't have to shoot him.
You just put him out of his misery. I think I let him do whatever the hell he was doing. I can't remember. The Last of Us is probably the best example. Maybe that's what I was
thinking. So I need to go play that because I got that with my PlayStation.
Should. It's really good.
I need some more crying in my life because that's really what I'm aiming for here.
Well, that's not what you're playing it for. Like, you're not playing it for the cries. You're playing it for the story. Yeah. And the DLC is actually really good. That's probably one of those games I've played recently that you know, even knowing the outcome because it's sort of a prequel, still catches you off guard. and we'll luckily have the, I think way back Josh was mentioning the Uncharted collection, and it's single player campaigns only, but I'm really excited to play those games again. It's been a while.
Very true. Oh my god, Up. Oh, I could tell you guys a story about Up. I don't know if you want to hear it though.
I do.
It's really, really sad.
The chat room has requested it because they said Up.
Okay, so when Up first came out on DVD, I went over to my best friend's house and we watched it with her parents. And at that point, her mom was stage 4 breast cancer, I think. And so literally it was like me and my best friend and her mom and dad. And we're all sitting there. She's going through chemo, all the rest of it. She's already outlived her life expectancy by like 6 months or something. And we're like, you know, she's been really, really tired. And we're just like, okay, you know what? We just need like some fun, like animated movie. It's just going to be amazing. And just, you know, kind of lighten up the whole situation. So the four of us are sitting there watching this movie. And I swear to God, the first like 5 minutes where it's talking about like how they fall in love. And then the fact that like she dies and like all four of us are sitting there in Up bawling like babies, like just so bad. So it gets like, it's probably about 15 minutes in the movie, we're all still crying, and all of a sudden my best friend just like turns to everybody and goes, who picked this?
Disney, unfortunately.
Yeah, way to go, Disney. Yep,
that movie's good.
It was so terrible. I haven't been able to watch it again.
It's got a dog who likes squirrels. So
I'm tearing up right now. Like,
there you go. You got your feels.
Here's all the feels, guys. Here's the feels.
Probably give everybody like a 10-minute warning, or probably less than that. But if we have any more questions and you want to ask them, and they can't,
no more questions about Up, guys.
Give us a happy question. Happy question. Happy question. Happy question. I'm just gonna say it one more time. Happy question. Because I can't think of anything else to say.
You're all telling me what a bad call it was. We didn't know.
Didn't know what?
About Up.
Oh. Same reason I don't play Mortal Kombat. The violence. Yeah. It's pretty violent. It's pretty violent. Yeah. Well, a couple more questions, guys, and we'll have to run. But
I think we'll probably just switch over.
All right. Well, we
won't. Why don't we just switch over? I mean, if chat room doesn't have any more questions,
they want Magicka too. They want Magicka. Well, and
who doesn't want Magicka too?
This is, we'll give them a fair shake warning. Like, 2 weeks from now, another hangout. Be ready. And no up questions.
Yeah, no up questions. That totally just really killed the mood a little bit.
No sad questions.
All right, I'm going to kill the stream while we switch over to the game. I feel like Ryan's been a little bit laggy, so I think I need to go kill some stuff. I'm fairly certain the PlayStation is still streaming some stuff from earlier, so I'm going to go turn off all the things, and hopefully we'll have some smooth gameplay for you. Sweet. In T-minus 10 minutes?
Sure.
Okay. We will be right back. So for those of you who are wondering, this is the patron hangout for the Gamers Inn. We go live with our show every Friday night on Amove TV at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. That will be this weekend, next week, and then we will be switching to a Wednesday night time, which is 7 p.m. Eastern, and again on Amove TV. So it's twitch.tv/AmoveTV. We will see you guys in the inn.